This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As you heard, the title of today's talk, inshallah, is Islamic Foundations for a Happy Home. I think that if we actually change the title to those things which are necessary to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the home. Because if your house, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with your home, it's going to be a happy home. And no matter how much you strive for happiness, if that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're never going to be happy. And this desire to be happy is a natural human desire. It's not something that is specific to Muslims or to males or females, to young or old, everybody. And I'm going to ask you something, because I think we need to really think about this. What does it mean to be happy? And I want answers. I'm not just asking because. Go ahead. So to be content, to not desire. So basically, you feel like you have everything you want, and therefore you are happy. Anybody else? Did you look that up? Anybody else? Yes.
You have a feeling in your heart that you are.
It's a feeling in your heart that you are pleased with Allah and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. Okay, maybe that's a Muslim definition. But just the human definition of happiness. Because everybody, yes. Contentment and satisfaction, similar to what we said here. Yes. Qana'a is not happiness. Qana'a is what they're talking about, which is contentment. Happiness is sa'ad. Normally, that's the way it turns out. Anybody else? Yes.
To feel fulfilled.
To feel fulfilled. Right, okay, so it goes back to contentment. All right, I want us to start there, because a happy home, and I want us to pay attention to this point here. We're looking for happiness in the home. It's a bit different than seeking happiness through marriage. Happiness in marriage is different from seeking happiness through marriage. And this point is critical, because a lot of people are not happy, and they think that by getting married, they will become happy automatically, and that's a fallacy. There's not going to be any marital happiness without individual happiness. And that's why it's very important that before you embark upon marriage, or before you look at your marriage and you say, well, what's going on? What's wrong with my marriage? There has to be an internal audit. You have to look at what's going on inside of you. And don't think that you're going to be a miserable person. You're 21 years old, you're miserable in life, and you think that now, by getting married, that life is going to turn for you and be happy. It doesn't work like that. And the more that you work on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with Allah, and your spouse also works on their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is where you'll be able to find happiness in the home. And I hope that this is clear. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah azza wa jalla will tell Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulan. Oh, Jibreel, I love this person, so love him. And Jibreel will call out to the inhabitants of the heavens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person, so love him. And then he will be given qabool fil ard, and he will be given the acceptance in on earth. The more that a person is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, male or female, I'm going to try to sum this up today. And this is going to go old school. So, like, you might need a pen and paper. I know those things probably, like, people under like you're gonna have to jot down notes, because this is, I want to approach this a little differently than just a succinct talk, because sometimes when it follows too much of a logical order, you go to sleep. And so sometimes you need to jump around a little bit, keep your mind right. I'll be going to the point. It's very important that we recognize that happiness starts within. Elias Wiesel has emphasized this in the Quran, Alam Neshrah Laka Sadrak. Have we not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, have we not expanded your chest? And have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that happiness comes from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look for it in other places, you may find some temporary fixes, but you're not going to find a cure. Elias Wiesel says, Alam Neshrah. Did we not expand your chest? In other words, did we not make you happy, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Elias Wiesel, the same way that he created this hand of yours and your body, he also created your emotions. He is the owner of those emotions. If you want to be happy, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And don't think that you're going to get it from elsewhere. That is a delusion, and it is going to take you off of the path. So knowing where to seek happiness is very important. To that point, inshallah, we're going to just go through quickly what I consider, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, what I consider to be some of the most important, and there may be some other things that are going to be skipped, some of the most important aspects of a healthy and happy home. And this is one of the most difficult talks that I've ever given, because the reality is that we're all striving for happiness in our homes. And just like everything else in Islam and your iman, just like there's ebbs and flows, ups and downs, there's the same thing in marriage. Even in the household of our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. And if there was just going to be a household that had no problems, there was no drama, there was no absolutely no argumentation, it would have been the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. But that wasn't the case. Not that there was turmoil. Let's not go there. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam had a very healthy, he had very healthy marriages. Okay? But they were not perfect in that sense, that meaning that there was no friction ever. I mean, you think about later in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Now, I don't want to digress too much, we go back, but I want us to understand. Because being happy does not mean that there's not going to ever be any problems. That's not what happens. But later in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got together, and they sent Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to talk to the Prophet about his love for Aisha. They were a little bit like, they wanted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to love them as much as he loved Aisha. So they sent Fatima to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, talk to him about al-adl, being just with us. And so Fatima went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and basically they looking for their, you know, they know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves Fatima like nobody else. So they figured that she would be the one, if anybody could talk to her, it would be Fatima. So Fatima came, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the house of Aisha. So she asked permission to enter. The Prophet told her to enter. And he was there, sitting next to Aisha, radiallahu anha. And so Fatima said, O Messenger of Allah, your wives have talked to me, and they wanted me to talk to you about being just with them. And they wouldn't call her Aisha, they called her Bint Abi Quhafah. Because that was the, I mean, she was this daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he was Ibn Abi Quhafah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Fatima, do you not love the
the one whom I love? And she said, yes. She said to the Prophet, so I told him, yes, I love her too. And she said, I'll never ask you anything again about Aisha. She went back to the wives of the Prophet, somebody was telling them, they said, you didn't do us any good. This is just what they said. You didn't do us any good. So then they said, let's send Zainab and Jash, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who's also a wife of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, said that she was the one that was basically the one that was almost equal to me, kind of the words that she used to describe Zainab. She said about Zainab that she was the one who also had a part of the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so she said, Zainab came and she asked, can she come in to the house of Aisha? And she came in and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and had described her in the most beautiful way. She said, there was no woman, she said, I don't know any woman who was more charitable than Zainab. She would give away her money. She was charitable with her actions. That is, that she used to do things, yani, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said she was a devout worshiper of Allah. And she described it with all these beautiful terms. She said, except, she said, she had a sharp tongue, basically. Let me tell you all. So she said, this is what she said. She said that she came in, and she was talking to the Prophet ﷺ, and she said, your wives want you to be just. And she said, and then she ripped into it. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, so I looked at the Prophet ﷺ trying to gauge, would he give me permission to respond? And would he let, or was he telling me to just fall back? She said, and when I saw that the Prophet ﷺ didn't mind me responding, she said, I responded and I silenced. Now mind you, listen to this. This is happening. These are the best of women in front of the best man. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were letting, you know, as we were saying, she was letting it happen. And the other one was responding. Okay, I mean, it wasn't any fights, alhamdulillah, but the point is that what? There was some tension there, right? And the fact that there was tension didn't stop or didn't mean that still wasn't the best household ever. Okay, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in him is the best example for us as a husband, as a spouse, period, as a parent. All of this we gain from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the point is that as we look for happiness in our families, we shouldn't be looking for perfection. That's the point. That perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to sum up. Also, I think another point of this hadith that should be mentioned. Notice how Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, look at that connection she had with the Prophet. Like they're reading, she's reading. Prophet didn't tell her you can respond. She said, I'm looking at the Prophet to try to gauge, is he going to let me respond? And she said, when I saw that he didn't mind. Mind you, they haven't said anything to each other. She's kind of communicating. They have this like subliminal communication going. And that's important, that you get to know your spouse to that level where you really don't have to go and say a whole lot, but that there's that level of communication between you. So what we're going to get to, inshallah, is six main points, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that will serve bi'idhnillahi as the foundations for a happy home. I'm going to mention them all together, and then I'm going to go one by one, inshallah, ta'ala. The first is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is al-wasatiyya. What's that mean? Moderation. Balance. Being balanced. That a house that does not have balance in it will fail it. It won't be a happy home. It won't be a happy home. The third thing is shukr. Gratefulness. Gratitude. The fourth is al-adl, which is being fair. Being just. That's four, right? The fifth, husnul khuluq. That there's good, that both spouses, that the people in the house have good character, that they have good manners. And then the last that Tamim Rahman once recognized. Love and mercy. Love and mercy together. Okay, so what is number one again? Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The foundation of the house, the household that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore one that is happy, is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That both people approach marriage as a means of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is both the man and the woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha atakum man tardawna deenahu wa khuluquhu fazawwijuhu. In lam taf'alu takun fitnatun fil ardi wa fasadun kabeer." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone comes to you seeking marriage, and you are pleased with his deen, his level of religiosity, and you are pleased with his khuluq, his behavior, then marry him. Not you marry him, meaning that you marry him to the one whose hand he's seeking. So whether it's your daughter, your sister, or whatever, maybe, then marry him to that person. If you don't do that, there is going to be fitna in the land and great corruption. Okay? So if someone comes to you seeking your daughter's hand, your sister's hand, whoever it is that you may be in charge of, and that person has good deen, that is, that their practice of Islam is intact and that they have good character. Can somebody's Islam be intact and not have good character? Okay, so why deenahu wa khuluquhu? Why both? Why his religiosity and his character? Yes. For emphasis, yes. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to show us the perfection of good character. The point is, there is emphasis here. There's emphasis on the point of character. Because deen, a lot of times, may refer to ritual aspects of worship. So how do you, is this person praying on time all of the time and fulfilling the other rites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A lot of times, deen kind of goes towards those ritual aspects, right? Character is part of deen, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is emphasizing that part. So if someone comes to you and you're pleased with their character, and you're pleased with their deen and their character, then marry them off. Meaning what? What quality are we looking for first and foremost? The person's practice of deen. Their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they don't do good in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most likely they're not going to do good in their relationship with your daughter, with your mother, if she's looking to get married, with your sister or whoever else. All right? And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said about women, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَضْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاهِ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said a woman is married for four things. For her wealth, for her nobility, yani her lineage, what family she comes from, what tribe she comes from. And for her beauty, it's number three, her wealth, her lineage, her beauty, and for her deen. For her deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fadl bi dhati deen taribat yadan." So pick the one who has the deen, may your hands be covered in dust. What does that mean? What does that mean? Huh? May your hands be covered in dust. What does that mean? You won't need for anything. Huh? Anybody else? So that you can be prosperous and successful? But no, okay. You have to understand that the stuff, it comes frequently in the language of the Arabs. They use things like this to mean the opposite.
Taribat Yadak is usually an indication that somebody is poor. Yes.
If the woman marries outside of the deen, then marriage is not necessary.
Okay, so but here's actually depends on what the du'a is related to. If the du'a is related to fadl bidatid deen, basically choose the woman for her deen and you will prosper, basically is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says. Okay? In other words, without going into a lot because the time is like ticking quickly, that we make our decision on whom we marry based on deen. That is one of the foundations for a home that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice that here, Allah, when talking about the companions, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If you had spent everything that was in the earth to bring their hearts together, that what? You wouldn't be able to bring their hearts together, but it is Allah that has brought their hearts together. So know that with your spouse, it's not going to be about how much you spend or how much they do, but it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating the bond between the hearts. And that's only going to happen when both people are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that happens, then Allah azza wa jalla will bring their hearts together. Again, it's not about the money. It's not about the material. You know, there are people, mashallah, have very nice mansions and things like that. They get divorced. And there are people who live very humble means, and they stay together, and they love each other, and their home is happy. Their home is happy. Because they're striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is critical in recognizing happiness that we are striving to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, وَلَذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ مَا تَوَادَثْنَانِ فَفُرِّقَ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ يُحْبِيدُهُ أَحَدُهُمَا. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, by the one in whose hand my soul is, and by Allah, there are not two people who have loved each other for Allah. ثُمَّ فُرِّقَ بَيْنَهُمَا. And then they are separated except because of a sin that was done by one of them. Except because of a sin that was done by one of them. Imagine if it's not a sin, but it's a life of sin. Now, if a person is constantly in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may be a cause of the family being split and not being happy. Happiness starts with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want that point to stick in. Now, as we talk about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a lot more that can be said on this particular point. We have to make sure, and this brings us to point number two, we have to make sure that there is balance. So a lot of us, when we think about marriage, and I also, this is not just for people who haven't gotten married yet, by the way, because a lot of times we hear this type of thing, we say, yeah, well, you talk about picking one for deen, and I really got married because the brother had a steady job, and now what do? I got married because I got a glance and she was beautiful, now what do? Well, what you do is you try to rectify the situation to the best of your ability. If this person is truly a Muslim, then bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, they're going to grow in their deen the same way that you're growing. Nobody just starts off the beginning of their lives, most people anyway. There are exceptions to the rule. But most people grow in the deen as they get older, as they learn more, and they're able to practice more, develop good habits. So the point is that what happens is we hear all this, and then we say, Allahu Akbar. Yes, I'm going to take my wife, and I'm for example, I hear the hadith, the sheikh just mentioned it, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's no man who wakes up at night. This is a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no man who wakes up at night, and he prays, and he wakes his wife up, and if she doesn't get up, and he sprinkles a little water on her,
And then she also, if she prays at night, and then she sprinkles a little water on her husband, and they wake up and they pray together, except that they'll be written from amongst those who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other ahadith like that, we say, khalas, mashallah, tonight, sit, gonna wake up. She doesn't get up, I'm gonna sprinkle a little water. If that doesn't work, y'all know the ice bucket challenge. Make sure she gets up, we're gonna pray together, and we're gonna make sure that this house is one that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is that being gradual is important. Being gradual is important. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stressed this upon many of his companions whom he saw doing things that, for example, were going to be beyond their capacity to be consistent with. Right? So we know about Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was striving, you know, to in his recitation of Quran and fasting and all of these things. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pushing him towards moderation. And there's a lot that has to do with that. The point is, moderation, both in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and moderation in the worship, balancing worship and entertainment, if I can use that word. Moderation in the worship and playing with your family and just being lighthearted. And what comes to mind is the hadith of leisure, there you go. That's a nice word. Is the hadith of Hamzah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I want us to really, really pay attention to this, because there are several examples from the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that give us, or that show us, the importance of having a balance when it comes to our homes. Hamdala al-Usaydi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu laqiyahu, he came, he met him, they were somewhere. And Abu Bakr said to him, كيف حالك يا حمد الله? How are you, حمد الله? And حمد الله responded by saying, نافق حمد الله. قد نافق حمد الله. حمد الله has become a hypocrite. Now mind you, he was one of the ones who used to write the wahi of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to write down the Quran as it was being revealed to Prophets. And so Abu Bakr says, SubhanAllah, وما ذاك? I mean, he was shocked, so he says, SubhanAllah, what do you mean? You become a munafiq. And he said, when we are with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we said, kiluna bin jannati wa naam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us of Jannah. He reminds us of the hellfire. He reminds us of the hereafter. Right? As if we can see it. And SubhanAllah, sometimes it's like that. You can even go to a dumps, and you're listening to all these ayat in the Quran, you listen to the hadith, and you're like, ready to go. You're just saying, SubhanAllah, your iman is through the roof, and you're saying, I'm ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. And you feel so good. And then he says, and then we go back to our families, and we tend to our wives and our children. This is what he said. We tend to our wives and our children. And these things, this is what he's telling Abu Bakr. This is his complaint. And these things slip our minds. He says, so I'm a hypocrite, basically, because I'm one way, when I'm with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm feeling really good, and then when I go home, I'm like this, you know, just like this play dad, you know, just hanging out with the family, and I'm not really serious anymore. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the best man to walk this planet after the Prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr said, we feel the same, I feel the same way. We need to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bring this up. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hamdallah started the conversation right away. Went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, qad nafaq Hamdallah. O Messenger of Allah, Hamdallah has become a munafiq. He's become a hypocrite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man, And some narrations, woman, that Canaan, what's going on? And Hamdallah said the same thing that he said to Abu. He said, well, we're with you, O Messenger of Allah, to the human of Jannah, and you remind us of the hellfire, and you remind us of paradise. And notice here, the Prophet wasn't just focusing on the hellfire, it was both. Paradise, and Talaheed, and the Prophet is both encouraging them, giving them encouragement, and he's also warning them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Both, that balance. Again, this is one of the topics of balance. And he says, but, you know, when we go back to our families and we're tending to our wives and we're playing with our children, these things slip our minds. And the Prophet said, yeah, alhamdulillah. He said, alhamdulillah, if you were to remain, you all, and he's talking to Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said, if you all were to remain in the state that you are in, when you are with me, the angels would come down, they would shake your hands while you're lying in bed and while you're walking in the pathways. He said, laughing at Hamdallah. He said, but Hamdallah, sa'atani, what's that? A time for this and a time for that. Ya Hamdallah, sa'atani, what's that? There's a time for this. And there's a time for that. Ya Hamdallah, sa'atan basah. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that. So it is very important that as we strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't go so far that we adopt a posture that we can't maintain, and that we oppress our families in the meantime because we're so strict. And you try to maintain the space. The reality of your family has rights. And one of those rights is that you're kind and loving and that you are. Like the companions of the Prophet, there's a time for this and there's a time for that. And so what you're going to find is that as Hamdallah felt, he felt somewhat hypocritical because he knows that, like, he's thinking, man, I'm, like we all know, we're going to die, we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to make our scales heavy, you know? And so when you're with your family, you're not going to be praying, you're not going to be doing adhkar and making dua all the time, and so on and so forth. And so you may feel like you're not filling up that scale. But the reality is that that good treatment to your family, if you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may be heavier on the scales than anything you'd be saying with your tongue. That may be heavier on the scales than the raka'at that you are missing because you're spending that time with your family for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't he race Aisha radiallahu ta'ala? And the way that the hadith is worded, that was something that they used to do. It wasn't just like one time. You know, she said the Prophet ﷺ, when she was younger, she used to, when they would race, she would beat the Prophet ﷺ. She said, when I got older and I put on some weight, then the Prophet ﷺ beat me. Right? But this is something that they continue to do. It's clear that the Prophet ﷺ would do this with her, you know, even as time went on and even as he got older, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the reality is that balance, is critical. It was the advice that Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu ta'ala, who gave to his brother, Abu Dhabi, when he came to him and he found his wife saying, I mean the wife of Abu Dhabi, just saying that Abu Dhabi doesn't have any need for me. He fasts every day, all day. He prays all night, and he really doesn't have any, you know, he's not giving me any attention. And so Salman said to Abu Dhabi, Rabbi Allah ta'ala, and he said, Inna li rabbika alayka haqqa, wa li ahlika alayka haqqa, wa li badrika alayka haqqa, fa'a'li kulla li haqqa haqqa. He said, your Lord has a right over you, and your family has a right over you. And your body has a right over you. You see that balance? SubhanAllah. It doesn't, and balance, by the way, come on, before, because I don't want us to get this twisted.
Balance does not mean equal. Balance does not mean equal. Understand? So, for example, I might have this bottle of water. If we put a balance, we put a scale out, and I put this here, and I said balance, and I put, for example, this on the other side, one and one. Is it balanced? Now I'm going to need a lot more of these, okay, to equal one of these. Understand what balance means, or understand what time for this and a time for that means. It doesn't mean that you spend 12 hours in the worship of Allah, 12 hours playing. No, it's not what that means. The majority of your time is still going to be those things which are going to benefit your hereafter, or spending time doing those things which are going to beneficial things from the dunya. It doesn't mean that you're going to spend the equal amount of time in entertainment and play and amusement and these type of things. Clear? So I just want us to understand. So here, Salman, probably a long time, who says, your Lord has a right over you, and your family has rights over you, and your body has rights over you, so give each one of them its rights. And then they went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Abu Dhab told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam what Salman said, because he thought he was doing the right thing. I'm praying all day, I'm fasting all night, what's the problem? I'm just. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Sadaqa Salman. Salman is told the truth. Only a long time. And so realizing that balance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, for example, he said, Kullu shaytin laysa bihi dhikrullah. He said, everything that is void of the dhikr of Allah, of the remembrance of Allah, is lahu and la'ib. It's a distraction, it's just play, and it's amusement, unless it is one of four things. Mula'abatu rajuli and ma'at. That a man does what? He plays with his wife, plays with his family. It doesn't have to have the dhikr of Allah, and we're trying to figure out how can we do everything the time that we spend together is just going to be in tahajjud. That's it. We're just going to get together and make sure this is going to be our time together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to mention three other things. He said, "Tadrib wa rajuli farasa," that a man trains his horse. Said, "Wa ta'allamu sibaha," and in some narrations, "Ta'limu sibaha," so learning how to swim or teaching swimming. And then he said, وَمَشْرَ غَدُلِي بَيْنَ الْغَرَضَيْنِ, and that a man goes in between the two targets. In other words, in archery. At least that's the explanation of some of the scholars of hadith. So learning how to shoot, learning how to, do bow and arrow, or archery. Learning how to, or training your horse. For what purpose? Right, so any of those things by PS, any of those things is going to help protect the Ummah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Protect the Muslims, especially in this type of society that we live in, where our houses of worship are not sacred anymore. They're not off limits for people to attack, to bomb, to burn down, or all of these other things. And we need to have Muslims, who are proficient in securing the houses of Allah. None of that. So the point is, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that even if these things are void of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not considered to be lahu and la'ib, just distraction and amusement and play. In fact, a person can be rewarded for those things, and a person is encouraged to do those things. So striking that balance. However, the striking, when we talk about striking that balance, never into the haram. Never into the haram. But we're not just going to say, we want to go out to this. That's not cool. I'm not even going to give you examples. You already know. You can't allow yourself. When we talk about being balanced, does not mean balance stops. There's red lines for balance. Those hurumat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established, you have to still maintain and stay within those limits, and you can't allow your quest or your claim for being balanced to allow you to go and to do that which is haram. And you have to protect yourself and your family and your home from the shaitan. And that is part of that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and part of remaining balanced. The last thing I'm going to say, we'll have the event called, inshallah, and I'll try to wrap up the last points. The last thing I want to say on this particular point is that in order for the home to be happy, and part of the obedience, and part of being balanced, is to protect that home from shaitan. And one of the easiest things that a person can do is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon entering the home. So when entering the home, and make sure that you say Bismillah, some of the other du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will mention upon entering the home, and give the salam, assalamu alaikum, when entering the home. Remember Allah azza wa jalla, because if you do so, then the shaytan will say, La mabita lakum. You don't have, you tell the other shayateen, you don't have anywhere to stay tonight. And if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon eating your food, and you say Bismillah before you eat, then he will say, and you have nothing to eat tonight. وَلَا عَشَاءَ لَكُمْ. يعني you don't have anything to eat tonight. But if you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when entering the home, and you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before eating your food, then the shaytan will tell the other shayateen, he will say to them, you have a place to stay, and you have a meal to eat. So it's very important that and we protect our homes from the shaytan if we want to maintain a happy home. I'm going to stop here with that, ta'ala.